Welcome. Today we're going to be talking about one of my favorite subjects. I'm into my second reign, so this could become a little wild. We could get a little opinionated. We could talk about a few manufacturers. We could talk about companies that make things across the border and then say it's made in America. We could talk about all that stuff on this particular live. But we'll see how the reign hits and like where we go. But the subject for this particular live that we're doing is talking about plate carriers. Do's and don'ts, understanding why plate carriers, and I also want to go over some of the modifications to AC1s you can make, because as some of you all may have noticed, the AC1 is back. There was a vendor that we went out and visited. We have two American vendors that are making the AC1 now, and we launched with over 4,000 with the restock this Monday. And they're still in stock. Medium Ranger Green, medium Multicam, and you can kind of see it over there. Medium Arid. They're being made in batches, so the smalls will come in at some point, the larges will come in, the gray, the black, the coyote, all that good stuff. Although coyote is going the way of the dodo, we are just going to focus on Arid for those of you who live out in the desert, or for those of you that want a little more drip, as the kids are saying these days. So, no more coyote. We're not doing that. So, I'm sorry to Marines out there, but you can get plate carriers from other people. So, let's talk about plate carrier philosophy real quick. So the number one fundamental purpose of a plate carrier, and there's a lot of people out there who just, they take a plate carrier and they think, man, I gotta maximize how much crap I put on it. You know, every single square space, I'm gonna put carabiners, gloves, Kim lights, magazines, hydration, frag grenades. Like, they try to maximize every single space on the plate carrier. But the ultimate goal of a plate carrier isn't necessarily for carrying gear. The ultimate goal of a plate carrier is to hold plates, body armor, hard plates, or soft armor if you have like a soft armor vest. So these are HESCO plates for you know, demonstration. But that is the ultimate goal of a plate carrier. If your goal is to simply carry gear, you may actually be better served just having something like a chest rig, something much more lightweight, something that you can actually put into a bag a little bit easier than something like a plate carrier. And plate carriers without plates inside of them kind of suck. Like, they don't work real well. You don't have a lot of structure and form and whatnot. It's just, it's not great. It all like spills forward in the front. So the ultimate goal of a plate carrier is to hold plates. After that, you can layer them up and build them out. Now, I want to go over a couple things. And it's taken me a little bit to come to some of these conclusions. And I've had conversations with Grand Thumb and a few other people on, hey, what are you finding using all these different kinds of plate carriers? What do you use for what? When do you use it? Kind of what's your philosophy and what's going on? And we had a really good conversation a few months ago on the Cry AVS style of plate carrier versus stuff like the Spiritus LB119 and other minimalist carriers on the market. So basically what you have, and this is kind of what I explained to people, you have sort of what I classify as three types of plate carriers. You've got super low vis slick carriers where the primary objective is holding plates, you know, like I stated earlier. They're super slick with literally nothing on them. And in this case, this is a Mayflower, an old Mayflower Velocity. You know, this is a plate carrier you wear under your shirt. You know, it's white, so you maybe, you know, don't see it as easily. And the purpose of this is just armor in a concealed setting. The straps are super thin material. I mean, look at that. You won't see it through a shirt. You're not going to load this up with a bunch of mags and a bunch of other stuff. Then you have plate carriers that are kind of in the middle. And that's what I would classify as, you know, something a little more like this. An AC1 style, a minimalist style, a Spiritus, a Ferro, a Slickster, a fill in the blank. It's got two plate pockets. It's got an elastic cummerbund, most likely, two shoulder straps, and it can take a little more gear. It's not quite as covert as something like that, but it's also not a full load-bearing plate carrier. If you want to actually run a ton of crap, and what you want for that is something like this. This is a Cry CPC. It's the older version of the ACS, or the AVS, not the ACS. But on the inside, I'm gonna open the sucker up. These are pricey. They're about 900 bucks to build out. But on the inside, you have a full harness with pads and all kinds of stuff going on. And this thing's comfortable. I mean, I put this on, I had plates in here, I put it on, had a bunch of crap on it, and it was pretty nice. But as you can see, this thing's also huge. So concealing this, putting this in a duffel bag is a little more tricky than, say, one of these minimalist style plate carriers or the super slick, you know, Mayflower style right here. So there's a purpose. I kind of classify them into three types. You've got your slick low vis. You've got your sort of medium loadout, minimalist. You know, you can scale it down to slick. You can scale it up a little bit for some stuff. And then you've got like a full load-bearing rig, such as the CPC, AVS, Eagle, MPCR, or whatever it's called. And there's a few others out there. And this is actually a, this is pretty cool, guys. This is a double cummerbund, so it's actually kind of rad. This one is all structured. It's got the little tab that slips on the inside. And then there's the external cummerbund right here with all the Molly. And the internal cummerbund has a radio pouch right here. So you can run your radio, then run all this stuff. There's just a lot going on with this carrier, but it's extremely comfortable, very nice setup. So with that understanding, what T-Rex Arms is offering is the middle of the road, slick. You know, you can build it slick, you could build it out a little bit. But I see a lot of folks out there, and I'm guilty of this too, that took slick carriers like this and we tried to build them out to the max. You know, back panels, you know, placards, fully loaded cummerbund, all this crap. And the reality is these carriers don't hold the weight real well. They don't disperse the load of all of the gear as well as something like that CPC. Can you do it? Yes. Is it going to be as good? Absolutely not. So I want to be really upfront about that for folks that don't understand plate carrier use, why these exist, why little slick carriers exist. That's why. Different missions, different whatnot. Now, in this case, let's run over an AC-1. I do want to cover questions. I do want to talk about questions. We'll go through here real quick. Eagle. Yeah, I've got one of those old school carriers. How many mags do you recommend to carry on your plate carrier for home defense? Well, here's the best part, guys. The reality is you are probably not putting on a plate carrier for home defense. If you look at home defense studies, if you look at what common scenarios are in a home defense situation, they occur within like a minute, 60 seconds or so. You know, if it's late at night, you get out of bed, do you have time to put on a plate carrier and night vision and cut the power to your home and turn on all the IR motion sensor lights? The answer is probably not if you actually look at realistic scenarios. Odds are all you have time to do is literally grab your rifle and that's all you have because you don't know exactly what's going on. You don't kit up. Like, I've drawn my gun and gone through my house three or four times now. I don't instinctively put on my plate carrier because I'm like, oh shoot, I don't know what's happening. Quickly, kit up, and panos, cut the power. Like, no, I'm not doing that. I have no idea what's going on. And one of the times it was Mormons at the front door and I went out the side door and had my pistol and I was like, what's going on? Oh, hey, what's up? And then, you know, I had to talk to them. Didn't put on my plate carrier for that. So for home defense, not the most realistic scenario. Where this stuff plays in is something, in my opinion, a lot worse that the Second Amendment is intended for, and that is civil unrest, potentially a government you're holding accountable, foreign invasion, and whatnot. It's not for home defense. This stuff's not for home defense. Home defense is a rifle with a light or a pistol with a light or a shotgun, you know, so you don't have to aim, you just do this. Just kidding, that's a myth. You have to aim with shotguns. That's a much more likely scenario for home defense, and you can go and read studies about it. You can read police reports. You can go read firsthand accounts of how long did it take? How much time did you have to prepare? Were you able to prepare? Did you know it was going to happen? Purely reactive. You're not able to put on kit in time. So I think that's something that really needs to be understood because there are people out there that think, oh, home defense, I'll have time to put this on. The answer is no, you won't. It's just not going to happen. Hope that makes sense. So Red Dawn. Yeah, exactly. So AC-1, let's cover this real quick because, you know, we do have these and, you know, they're pretty cool. It's a nice little setup. So I've used a lot of carriers. We go and buy carriers from everyone. And I mean, everyone. Spiritus, Pharaoh, Cry, Eagle. We go and collect plate carriers from every company out there. We try them out. We play with them, First Spear, like all these different companies. And over the years of using them, there were features to different plate carriers that I really liked, and there were some features that were lacking that I wanted to put into our own carrier. So the AC-1 is, like I specified before, it is more or less a minimalist plate carrier. This is, you don't get the flag patch, although you should get one. This is what you get right here. You get two plate pockets, an elastic cummerbund, two buckles for your Swift Clip placard style setups, padded shoulder pads, although they're light, you know, it's not for like a full load, it's just, but there is foam on the inside. And this is what you get for $190 made in America. Now, there's a couple things about this plate carrier that make it a little different than some of the other ones on the market. The first is the cummerbund is not simply, you know, the little slots, the cells, are not just sized for 5.56. There are a lot of cummerbunds out there, I think pretty much everyone just does 5.56 for the entire thing. And the downside to that is if I want to carry other stuff, like a multi-tool, a flashlight, a, you know, whatever, or in this case, a medical kit in the larger one, I can't do that. You know, I'm not going to be able to fit a medical kit into a 5.56 pouch that is this big. But if I go up to the next size, which is right behind it, I can fit one of our little ITRKs or, you know, even another med kit from another company in this pouch right here. So what we do with the 5.5, this particular cummerbund on the AC1 is we have small, medium, big. Big for big items, medium for radios or 5.56 mags, small for small. Small is what we have going on. The other thing that's really big, and this I think this is pretty important, we do not have a cummerbund on the back that is exposed. The cummerbund is covered by the rear flap of the plate carrier. Now there's kind of two styles of plate carriers out there on the market. We have this one to demonstrate. Well, actually, this isn't the best demonstration, but it works. You've got, come here. You've got traditional Velcro cummerbunds, which are my favorite. Let's do this. And simply the way they work is they attach in the back of the plate carrier, just like so, and then you're like, it's being stuck back here. And so then you have the cummerbund, right? That's like a very traditional way of doing it. But then you had companies like Cry come along and they were like, yeah, we don't like that. We're gonna do this like three strand kind of a system. And in this case with the MBAV, these little strands route through the sides of the plate bag, they attach to each other and they're internal inside of the plate carrier. And then you have the JPC, for example, where the cummerbund kind of does this action and you actually weave shock cord through the entire cummerbund. So you get a little bit of stretch, but ultimately you're having to tie a bunch of knots and do a bunch of weird stuff. Spiritus did the same thing with the LV119. In my opinion, it's one of the worst things about the plate carrier when you set it up initially, because you have to literally tie some like crazy knots inside the plate carrier and set your cummerbund and use their little grid system inside of the plate carrier. It's not something you could just like open up, do, and then shut. It's very difficult when you're first setting up the plate carrier. So I wanted something a little more simple, but not just a cummerbund that is exposed to the elements, because I've had issues with carriers in the past where my cummerbund is exposed like this and stuff catches and pulls it. I've had a cummerbund literally pull off of me because I was in a car, went to bail out there. You know, seats of vehicles are sometimes a little sticky. And because the corner of my Velcro was opened up, that literally caught inside the car. And as I bailed, because Velcro, you know, it shears away, you can't like you can't defeat Velcro side to side, but it literally just peeled off of my carrier like this as I bailed from the vehicle. So I think it's pretty important to have your cummerbund protected, because that's literally the thing that's holding the plate carrier to your body, because in the front, usually it's pretty adhered by like your placard and, you know, everything else. So we simply just have this nice little flap, you know, like on kids' pajamas, you know, with the little flap back there. We just have this little flap right here and you're set and you're good to go. Charles is gonna ask you a question, whatever. So that's what we have. So your cummerbund is fully protected. But the cool thing is, because of this, it's very simple, Velcro hook and loop. There's a lot of cummerbunds from other companies that can work with this plate carrier. Velocity has one. You can retrofit a Cry MBAV cummerbund, one of my favorites to work on here. And the entire thing is protected back here. And I think that's something that's super important. We also have padded shoulder pads, cool, whatnot. And that's just, that's how it is. Questions? Other placard variations coming? Possibly. Let's run over a few ammunition styles for plate carriers. I have a bunch of options right here. We've got the, obviously they have a, I need to stop saying obviously as much. I'm catching myself saying that. I've been saying a lot. I said that a lot in the Vortex podcast, and I just really wanted to, you know, like jump off a bridge basically. So we have Swift Clip buckles here on the front of the carrier. So that means any traditional Swift Clip style placard, not like the LBX, which has their own like proprietary thing for whatever reason, but this particular Haley Micro can work on there just fine. Boom, it's set. Spiritus little elastic thingy, you know, this little guy right here, this works on there too if you want to, you know, have a slick front. You've also got, if you want to go a little bigger, you've got the Mayflowers. These are really nice. This is a 7621. It is a little wider than the plate carrier itself, but it still adheres just fine. Hold it over here. So this is the 7.62 one. I use it for my SCAR mags and stuff like that. What else do we have? This is the Velocity 4 mag. This one's pretty cool, although it is, you know, four magazines and it's, you know, you're trying to put a little bit of weight in the front, you know, with four mags. And then you also have what we offer, something a little bit different, is we had S-TAC make us this exclusive little placard. It does come with Swift Clip buckles, although I prefer using it without. And this is just three Kydex inserts with loop on the front, hook on the back. There are chest rig little tabs, so if you do want to wear it as a little chest rig, you can, although I'd recommend getting an actual chest rig for that. But what I, the way I like to use this is I ditch the buckles, so I run slick in the front. Nothing, ditch the buckles on the top, completely slick. Run this guy right in the front. Leave one side Velcroed. And then when I go to put this on, all I have to do is go in from one side, Velcro to the front, and that keeps everything nice and tight to the body. Three mags in the front, whatever I need in the cummerbund, and I'm done. This is one of my favorite like setups and ways of doing things. However, I have very much enjoyed, if I want a little more kit, you know, I want a little more stuff going on, taking this guy, which I also wear these on their own, so like Mayflower, ready to go. Take the Mayflower, which the cool thing with this rig is, it's also Swift Clip compatible because this clips into their harness. I literally buckle this in, because you will want to use the buckles for this. Buckle this to the front. And obviously the problem with this guy, I just said it again, motherless goat. The problem with this is I've got some overhang on each side. So how do we prevent this from flopping out? Because this is not gonna work real well. Well, we take the rear strap that it comes with because it's a standard chest rig, flip over these, and this is where having a flap in the back of the plate carrier is absolute money. So let's go ahead and actually Velcro this to the front here. And I ran this setup at this big airsoft thing I went to recently, and man, it was nice. Then Chad used my setup, and I think he told me it was the best plate carrier he ever used in his life.
And now I have one.
And now he has his own. He didn't quite say that, but he did immediately go and buy one that night, a chest rig. So what you do is you route the rear strap for the chest rig underneath the flap. Then you shut the flap. Now that ain't going nowhere. And now I can use the rear strap to help retain the chest rig to my carrier. Then when I go to put the plate carrier on, I attach the cummerbund in the front, take my strap, attach it. And obviously you'll want to set the tightness of this and whatnot based on what you're wearing and all that good stuff. But now I have a full chest rig that gives me a little bit more options, four magazines, all my GP pouches. The load is kind of spread out. It's not like all in the front tipping forward. I can still shoot prone with this and whatnot. And I have that rear strap here in the back that is keeping the chest rig tight to my body. Now this is a little more traditional kind of a way of running a chest rig on a plate carrier. The other method, which is even more traditional, is you just wear the chest rig completely on top of it, which on an AC1 is actually pretty good. The only issue is you're starting to add a harness on top of your plate carrier, so there's a little bit of extra stuff going on. This right here is a real money setup right there. And can it support the weight? Yes, it can. Although if I really wanted to wear this for like weeks on end, you know, all this stuff right here, I would definitely upgrade the shoulder pads or potentially go to something like the CPC. So don't think I'm trying to tell you guys like, hey, get this and you'll be done. You'll have everything you need forever. Not necessarily, but it is a great little setup. Obviously, well, yes. Okay. Quiet. all right. So let's go through some questions real quick. You're listening to this on your way home. Well, hopefully you're not driving and watching, because that's a good way to get into a what's called a situation. So don't do that. Listen, but you know, don't do anything else. Did we see a IG live about this exact setup? We did a IG video on Instagram. Yeah, kind of going through the whole thing and whatnot. How can these be cleaned? Well, you can put them in the washer, I'm pretty sure, but I don't actually clean my gear like that. You could also just do a traditional little scrubby, leave it in the rain. But no, I actually don't like clean my gear. I'm disgusting. Okay. Like I know, but I haven't done that. That's why I like more mags on belts. So going prone is an issue. Yeah. Prone is a really interesting conversation because you get shooters on two sides of the fence, and I've been there. I've been like, prone's overrated. It's stupid. Nobody ever does it. And then I talk to other people who are like, no, we absolutely go prone. Like if we can go prone, we take it. We're flat to the deck. We're a smaller target. We have more stability. We can shoot faster. Which, if you're shooting a single target without having to transition, that's absolutely correct. Monopodded down, hand on the rail, you can rattle rounds off prone super fast. We're gonna do some of that tomorrow. I've got a very particular drill we're gonna be running. It's gonna be a lot of fun. But it's gonna require target transitioning, which in the prone sucks when you're actually having to move your entire body to actually like transition in the prone. So in talking to guys, they're like, no, we like prone. Other guys are like, no, we don't. I think it is important to train. I think it is important for people to know how to get really flat, know how to control the gun. But yes, there are issues when you start loading up a ton of stuff in the front when it comes to going prone. Now, I haven't had issues going prone with a setup like this, where I have one row of magazines and a little bit of other stuff in the front. I think some people kind of moan and gripe a little more than maybe they need to, and it probably just comes down to a training thing, being used to it and actually doing it. The worst thing to do from prone is shooting with night vision. That really sucks. Trying to keep your head upright and get on your laser and everything, that sucks from prone pretty much no matter what. But the reality is, with all this stuff right here, you can make it work, and that's what we're going to be doing tomorrow. So, nice little setup right there in multicam. So, obvious motherless goat, yes. Mayflower APC worth it? The answer is yes, it is. Mayflower makes some really nice plate carriers. In fact, I need to go get one of their little slick, like, they have a slicker one, and then they have, like, a bigger one, and I need to go get one of the slick ones. Different, yeah, exactly. So, any advice? So, advice for newbie on what to buy and how to know what plate carrier size you need. So, we have a great little guide on our website about plate carrier sizing and how that works. And, you know, you measure from, like, you know, your body and you, like, figure some stuff out. The reality is medium-sized plates are the size for most people. And the way it comes down to buying plate carriers, you do not buy the plate carrier you feel matches the proportions of your body. You buy the plate carrier based on the size of the plate. And I see people, and this is the funniest thing ever. They'll see a slick carrier like this that's small, right? So maybe not this one because I have this huge chest rig on it. Actually, I'll just ditch it. Take the whole thing off. I love this. This is great. I remember I went to a SWAT medic course 5 years ago, and I remember people gave me crap for having a JPC. But you have this little carrier right here, right? And dudes see it and they go, oh, that carrier's, that's a baby carrier. That thing's tiny. And it's like, hey, what size plates do you have in your plate carrier? And they go, mediums. And I go, oh, well, I got mediums too. So who's the chump now? Because the reality is there are some plate carriers out there that are bigger. They have more material. They're obviously built larger, but that isn't giving you any extra protection. It only gives you extra protection if you have extra armor plates, like side plates or deltoid armor or like a groin protector. Like if it's just a carrier that takes this, then it doesn't matter how big the plate carrier is. You're still only getting this amount of protection. It's all like aesthetic at that point where people are like, oh, a baby plate carrier. But they literally have the same plates protecting their body that I have. I just have a slicker, slimmer, less material, lighter weight, dries quicker plate carrier, which in some ways is possibly better than whatever huge, bulky, Chinese-made piece of crap they have that looks like something from 2002. So that's always funny when people kind of approach that subject because, you know, it's really obvious. It's really easy to see just, you know, they don't know what they're talking about. But there is a time and a place, like I said, for a larger plate carrier, such as the CPC, versus a smaller carrier like this. But ultimately, size medium plates. They will have the exact same protection, the exact same ballisticness, unless I go to start adding side armor and, you know, a bunch of other crap to it. It's always fun. So, what to wear on the back of a plate carrier? This is a great conversation to have because I think people really, what's the right word? I think people aren't realistic about it. And I'm guilty of this too. So I'm gonna tell you all kind of what I was thinking. So I've got a really slick plate carrier here. Well, it's not slick. Well, it sort of can be. I might need help finding it. Oh, here it is. So, back panels. So the real question is, what is your goal? What is the goal of putting stuff back here? Because the reality is, you can't get to it unless you take your plate carrier off or you have a buddy do it. So if you're a solo dude, you probably don't want a back panel on your plate carrier because you aren't getting anything out of that unless you actually ditch your entire carrier. What will be much more effective will be this, a backpack, a nice traditional, I know it's not as cool and like high speed and awesome and operator and all that, but it's literally a backpack. You wear this on top of your plate carrier that has a slick back. You're doing your thing. You're like, oh man, I want some munchies. I want to, you know, get my food out. So then you literally take your bag off. You still have your plate carrier on. You get your munchies out. You get your Snickers, your calorie, whatever stuff, because you need 5,000 calories because you're in Antarctica or whatever. And then you know what you do? You put your backpack back on. See how easy and awesome that was? Granted, without a plate carrier on. But if I have this back panel on this JPC 2.0, I can't get to it. Like I have to go over to a buddy and go, hey, top right pocket, I've got some munchies, I need them, like get them out for me. I need some P's and Q's, get them out for me. So the issue with back panels when people, you know, are looking at buying plate carriers is they see the cool guys running this, and I'm guilty of it too, and they go, well, I just need this. I just need that really awesome $200 cry back panel because I want to put some crap back here. I want to put my medical, and I want to put like some maps, and then an extra water, and then we'll put some flashbangs up here. Oh, but I don't have flashbangs. Oh, I'll put 20 round magazines. I'll put 20 round AR mags because they fit. Oh, that's what I'll do. But you can't get any of this unless you take the rig off. And then the other best part, this is the best part, right? People buy these back panels saying, oh, they're super modular. I've got zippers. I can, you know, I can pop this zipper, pull the $200 placard off or the back panel, and then I can add my Assaulter back panel with all the frag pouches on the top, and or I can put my little helmet one on there. Well, the reality is, are you actually building out three different back panel loadouts? Because the reality is most of us probably aren't doing that. We're going to be carrying basically the same stuff at all times. We're not doing three different back panel loadouts for gear that we can't even get to unless we take the plate carrier off. So this stuff is really cool, but is it actually that realistic for the average Joe? And in my opinion, probably not. A backpack that you can actually get to yourself as an individual, so you're not having to rely on a team element, may actually be more effective. You also pay a lot of money for these systems, having all the zippers. And if you're not going to go modular, don't do the zippers anyway because you don't need them. So I think it's really funny when people, you know, they see photos online of guys and they go, man, I got to have what they have. But they don't understand what those guys are doing, what their mission is, how much gear they actually have to have modular gear for, how they operate as a team. And this setup right here may actually not be effective for you as an individual compared to a dude who's on a team who trains with that team all year, is always with the same guys, and they know what's going on. So you really got to think about the why. Like, why do you want this stuff on your back, and what do you actually need to put there? So I'm of the opinion right now that the majority of people would be better served with a backpack that is completely separate, and then you have a plate carrier. I hope my logic is making sense, but some of you will probably disagree. And then having a plate carrier that's slick on the back. So when I wear this, I'm having no problems at all. I don't have a bunch of pouches back here that are getting in the way and making it all uncomfortable. Slick back, plate carrier on top. Hope that makes sense. But it's something I've thought through a lot, and I've really tried to figure out, like, what do I actually need to put back there? Night vision, cool, have that, water, extra mags, some other stuff. And then it's like, well, I can fit way more of that in a bag that I can actually dump, you know, hit Z twice, drop my bag on the ground, you know. A little Tarkov reference for those of you who don't know. So what about a Camelback? That can be pretty cool if you slip it back there. It's usually small enough you can wear a pack on top. That's what I have on this guy right here. So this is an AC1 built up a little bit more. I have the WTF. We don't have a back panel like adapter right now, but this is from a company called Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. WTF, I know, right? But they make this back panel adapter for the AC1 that gives you laser cut molly. Now, laser cut molly it's okay. It's I mean, I like standard molly more than laser cut, really. But it works. And so what I have on here is a SS Precision water little pack thing. So it's pretty slick back here. I could still wear a plate backpack on top if I needed to. Got a little GP pouch right here, and that's it. So if you do want to put stuff on your back and not have a modular panel, because I don't need that. Like I don't have tons of like loadouts like that. If I need to, I just grab a different plate carrier. Just have like two different AC1s that I swap between. And that's how I have it set up. So nice and slick, cummerbund's good to go, 3.762 mags in the front, and I'm set. This is an Arid. And the plates are broken. Get back there. Just kidding, they don't break that easily. Questions. Whiskey24, thank you. Whiskey Tango 4, I don't know, whatever. So, Milsim comm setup. I had a Hytera Disco 32 and non-amped PTT going to a modified Swordens. So let's actually talk about that real quick. So I have, so for the big airsoft event that we went to recently, it was a lot of fun. If you guys haven't seen my video that I did earlier this year, airsoft is one of the most underrated training experiences you can do right now if you can't afford ammo and you're bored of the flat range. And I'll be honest, the flat range gets a little boring. Now I'm going to start sounding like a psychopath. But the reality is when you're just shooting on a flat range and you're shooting the same drills over and over, and there's not a lot of differences you can add to shooting. I mean, it's just targets, you know, non-threat targets, threat targets, speed and accuracy. Like it gets old. Like it's always the same, right? But if you actually want to go and train some other stuff you're never going to get on the flat range because you're never going to replicate it, like shooting people or target identification, stuff like that. You have to either go do Force on Force, go to war and hope you actually get into a gunfight, which right now is very, 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 very few people. Or you can go to an airsoft event where you actually get lots of reps of running around, wearing your kit longer than 2 hours, using a radio, using maps, and then also having to do target identification. And so the thing that I tell people who are wanting to get to go to these events, they're large, like organized events. And I say the same thing to folks that want to start shooting competition. If you can go to a match, your first match, and shoot the whole thing and not get a DQ, that's awesome. If you can go to a MILSIM event, an airsoft event, and go through the whole match without a team kill, that's a win. That's awesome. And thankfully, at this event, I didn't team kill anyone. The one before, earlier this year, pretty sure I shot a few people without doing good enough PID. So that's a big thing to work on. And the only way you can really work on it is going to one of these events. So this was the rig that I ran for that. So I kind of knew, like, hey, here's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be wearing all my kit all day. I will be able to resupply water pretty often, so I don't need to carry a ton of water on my body to slow me down. So what I had is the exact same setup. Mayflower setup with a prototype little thingy here in the back to keep this stuck to my body. Water bottle in the front, so I just reloaded this, you know, every time I was at our little base resupply point. Suck that down, dump it, add a new one. So I always had water right here accessible. I don't really like bladders and stuff like that and the big camelbacks. I prefer having something like this. Four magazines in the front, batteries. I had a multi-tool, headlamp, my little dead rag to indicate when I've been shot and I'm, you know, dead. Medical, radio, PTT. I had Faro shoulder pads on here, and then I had nothing on the back. And the benefit to that is, and I had this with me, I didn't need to use it, but if I absolutely needed to, I then add my backpack. And because I'm slick on the back, I can wear that sucker just fine. Dump it when I don't need it. Now I'm nice and slick, can sit in a vehicle, and I'm set. So this is my rig that I ran. Don't ask, this is a prototype ATAC Cogworks adapter that Derek made for me that we probably are not making because I don't know. So I have a way of running a phone here, which I did use for maps and stuff because I wanted to play with it and I thought it'd be cool, it'd be fun. But yeah, this is my loadout. And it worked great. It ran awesome. We're going to be playing with more shoulder pads here in the future, adding them to the AC-1. Yeah, cheaters. Yeah, people don't call their hits an airsoft. I mean, it happens and it's stupid. I probably called hits on myself too much from like ricochets and stuff. Cause technically you're not supposed to, you don't have to call hits for ricochets, but it's just like, I have no idea. I'm dead. It's fine. It's a game. Who cares? Nobody gets to win an airsoft. The winners, I love this. This is always hilarious. I'm going to touch on this, especially for people that want to go to airsoft and MILSIM and compete against people. We got the question when we were done with it. Hey, did your team beat Haley's team? Did Haley's team beat yours? Did you win this? Did you win that? And the reality is the winner of a MILSIM event or a training type of situation, the winner is the one that had their brain turned on the most and learned the most. You can lose at a MILSIM like scenario, right? Just get completely just rolled up and absolutely steamrolled and destroyed, right? But if you take stuff from that you learn, you won. Like it's the exact same thing with shooting. If I'm shooting a drill and I'm self-analyzing like, oh yeah, I that's a delta on the left. I did this to result in that. I had a mic on this target because I rushed my sights. That's a win. Even though you failed the drill, it was a win because you called it and you had a hypothesis for what went wrong and you know what went wrong. And it's the exact same thing with any training scenario, force on force, simunition, UTM, airsoft. It doesn't matter who wins the scenario because the winner of the scenario is the one who learns the most. So for the night scenario we did against Haley's team, his team technically won, 16 defenders against 7 attackers. They all had night vision. We had 5 sets of nods, 2 dudes that didn't. Not great odds, although I'm very happy with how our team did, but we learned a lot. So for me, it was like, we're winners. We learned a ton from this. We snuck up, took an hour and a half. They didn't know we were there. We actually got into their compound, which is kind of incredible since they had 16 defenders. We learned stuff, even though we lost technically. And that's how people need to be viewing training. Even if you lose at a competition or you lose a drill against your buddy or you fail a drill that you're shooting at the range, provided you are understanding why you lost and what you can do to get better, that's the win right there. But people don't understand that. They just want to get all competitive because they like watching football on Sunday and it's a stupid paradigm and whatever. So that's how it is. Losing is great. Failing forward is the term if you want to get all businessy. So, okay, cool. I'm trying to get some questions in here. You fired in real life. Yeah. It's usually pretty evident when you're dead, though, because, like, you get rolled up on and just get absolutely smoked. So you usually know when you're dead in airsoft. Nods protection. Yeah, so night vision. So I ran my 31s one night, my panos the next night. I'm not doing anything to protect them. There are certain night vision, user-serviceable night vision. You can add sacrificial caps to the front. PVS 31s have that built in, which kind of sucks because you have to send it in and if it gets broken. Panos don't have that either. So I'm just running them unprotected and hoping for the best. And if they break, I'll get them repaired because it's a training situation and I'll use them again. That's just how it is. So saving up for my first AR, $500. Can't wait to get it. Awesome. I recommend. And I was wanting to start filming the video this week, but we haven't gotten to it. My recommendation for an AR, keep saving, is an Aero lower for like $250 and a BCM upper. That is the T-Rex Arms rifle. That is the rifle we've been recommending to people for years. We're going to keep recommending it. I've got one over here that I'm building out for some stuff because I've been shooting a lot of Mark 18s and MCXs, and I'm going to go back to shooting BCM because this setup right here, Aero lower, BCM upper, is the Chad setup. So if you could save up for that, it's around $1,050, depending on shipping and whatnot. You'll be squared away with a grade A rifle for cheap monies, not too expensive. Bye.
Bye.
Trying to sneak out. So we have some footage that's going up, yes. Use clear tape to protect nods. Don't think that really works. The BB will still go, basically the energy will still transfer the night vision. I don't think clear tape will work, but you may know something I don't. So, reselling LE guns for cheap. That's really cool. Questions. I'm looking at questions. Is the Virtus worth it? Not for $4,000. Is it worth it for $2,000? Yeah, I think so. For $4,000, no, unless it makes you happy. And if things make you happy, then buy them. Not always. But yeah, the Virtus at $4,000, absolutely not. What was the biggest flaw with my kit that I found? The radio, actually. The kit itself ran great. I love it. I'm going to be running this tomorrow, this exact setup tomorrow on the range for some drills that we're doing, the prone stuff. I've got a really cool drill. actually, yeah, because we do fun things. I got some stuff I've been working on and printing these off. But it's a really, oh, geez, they're not going to be able to see it. Yeah, just go to close. So we're going to be running this tomorrow with a bunch of setups. You doing the zoom in? Oh, geez. Basically, I've got at 50 meters, three different barriers. You run up the first barrier, you shoot it prone. But here's the best part. Instead of just shooting one target from prone, which is super easy, it's three targets. They both, two have no shoots, one doesn't, because I like. I'm currently using no shoot targets to help work on my visualization game, really dialing in on the center of a target, not being super sloppy. But from prone, you have to transition between all three targets, which sucks because you're having to move your entire body and you got all this friction and stuff happening with the ground. Tac mag from behind that low barrier. So from a low position, you know, chest raid, get in there, load it, stick it. Move to another barrier from crouched, shoot all three targets again, two rounds on each. Tac mag again from your chest rig. Move to the next barrier, standing position, two on each again. Tac mag again, and then you move up and shoot all three on the move. So for a total of 18 rounds with three tac mags, working from prone standing, prone, crouched standing, it's basically a drill that kind of encompasses everything, but also works through your kit. And I really like drills like that. I do them every once in a while. I usually do drills where it's like they're over in 5 seconds because I'm just repping, you know, a certain thing out, like, you know, visualization for my peripheral or something like that. But this drill that we're going to do tomorrow is going to be a little more intensive, a little more, I guess, dealing with a little bit more stuff. And kind of drew it up right here. So anyway, that's for tomorrow. Where was I going with that? Oh, I can't remember. Maybe one of the guys can remind me. Kit? Oh yeah, the biggest problem with kit. Yeah, so the biggest problem is my radio. And my theory is, so this is a Hytera. Oh geez, I'll read off the title. This is my theory. And I'm kind of done. I think I'm kind of done using radios more or less like this. Although it does appear, I think the batteries that came with these, because these are used, the batteries on these are absolutely fried. Because even with it on the charger and then running it on my kit, this died 8 hours in, being on all day. And I'm pretty sure it's just because these batteries are kind of fried because these are used radios. So I want a radio, and this one you can sort of pop the battery off, but I want a radio with loadable batteries. So if I do actually go dead, I can pull one out of a pouch and I'm good to go and I'm set. So I definitely want radios with external batteries because that's something you can actually fix like in the field versus getting, you know, back to your little base and then like putting it in the charging station. So this was actually the biggest problem that I had was with this Hytera PD782 with the battery dying about 8 hours in. That sucked. That really sucked. And then I didn't have comms for the night scenario, which would have been great. But again, you wouldn't learn that. And this is the great thing about these events. You wouldn't learn that at the flat range because the issue with the flat range is you go out there for 4 hours. You put on your plate carrier for 4 hours, which isn't really enough time to, you know, really notice some issues. You know, you put on your radio, you do some comms checks with your buddies, you do your drills, you do your slow-mo video for Instagram, you know, put Goon in the name and you know, wear multicam black and you do all that really cool stuff that everyone does on Instagram right now. But you're not actually getting like a little bit more of the experience, I guess you could say, or a little bit more of the factors that you actually need to like pay attention to doing something a little bit longer. That's why we did that night hike recently. It's why we go to these Milsim events. It's why we go to stuff where we can spend more time in the kit, with the kit, and determining some issues. And another issue that I ran into, I'll give this to you guys, with our plate backer. Now, I think this is with my particular set of plates. I have 4,800 LVs, size small. They're kind of curving up into my sternum, I guess a little bit sooner because, you know, I'm technically between a size medium and a small. I'm not actually a small, but I had a whole lot of pressure from this pad right here, up here at the top. Now, I don't think this will be an issue with like the L210s because the L210s are so flat that there's really none of that curve that's occurring once you add the back panel. But what I actually did when I got home is I was like, that was a lot of pressure. It was really uncomfortable. I'm just going to chop this sucker right out of here. And sure enough, that alleviated the problem. I went to the range, wore it for a little bit, and was like, wow, this feels a whole lot better. So again, using your kit longer than just a couple hours, you learn some stuff. And you learn like what sucks and what doesn't. It's great. All right. Okay. Can you put a back panel on the AC1? The answer is yes, but at what cost? But yes, you can. WTF has a back panel that is MOLLE that you could slip right onto it. I have that on a few plate carriers. I may have one that's exposed I can show you all. Or Chad, maybe you could try to find one. Never mind. A back panel that's exposed. Jeez. Or there's a Coyote one. Yeah, there's a Coyote one. Yeah, that one right there. I've got one to show you all. It's actually pretty cool. He came out with this right after we launched. Straight to jail, right away. But this is basically how it works. You put this over the plate carrier, shoulder straps go through. This tucks up underneath where the plate backer, the plate bag shuts. And then you have laser cut MOLLE and a loop field on the back of your carrier. So it'll be just like this. Then you can put your pouches on. This little LBT pouch that someone put on there. Don't know why. What? True. Or your hydration and your set. And these are, I think, $70 or something. I can't remember. Something like that. They work pretty well. I've been using them off and on. Oh, shoot. Okay. Do you guys make, sell the 762 placards? So we have coming, well, soon. I have no idea how much time that's going to take, but we do have STAC is going to be making for us a 762 version of the 556 placards. Size 4.762 mags. So in this case, this is these are all three SCAR mags, slapped straight onto an AC1 or other similar sort of a plate carrier. Cummerbund can go on top, or you can have cummerbund underneath, traditional like, and then you can Velcro other stuff to the front. But I have been using these, and it works well. So yes, in the future we'll have a 7.62 panel for you FAL users, SCAR enjoyers, and SR25 cloner crybabies. Okay, just kidding. Not always, but sometimes. So yeah, 7.62 will be on the way. Are SCAR 16s worth it? Yeah, it really depends on the money. The new ones are non-reciprocating, it sounds like, which is really cool. You cannot attach a Med-1 to the AC-1, at least not right now, because the Med-1 is a dedicated belt-worn medical kit. If you want a medical kit to go on an AC-1, honestly, what I would recommend, I think I've got one on the back of here. This is a very cool med kit. It's a little big. It's a little big, but on the back of a plate carrier, that's fine. From SO Tech, not SOE. This is SO Tech. This is has pull handles on either side, so you can deploy it very easily from either side of the plate carrier. This one, as you can see, is a little large. It spans the entire width of like a standard medium-sized plate carrier. But if you want a med kit like on your plate carrier, like a full one, like ready to use, that's, you know, accessible super fast, this setup right here is actually really nice. You will need to put a Molly back panel on there, obviously, to put it on there. But, you know, you can do that. You can also just spread medical gear out in the cummerbund on the sides with the two larger cells, and then you're set. Ferro Roll 1, that one's also really cool. I think people put them in the back usually, so you can kind of like get to it, and you Velcro it underneath, kind of like a double mag pouch, such as this one. This is from Cry. You have two extra mags back here, which is super cool. Not really for speed reloads, they're just there for supply. Will the 7.62 placard fit 7.62x39? Yes, actually it might be a little big, but yes, it will fit those. Talk about the shingle. I don't even have one here. Well, there's a tan one over there, but we don't sell those. I don't have one right here, but the shingle's really dope, and I'm hoping they'll be in stock again soon. In the meantime, if you need a shingle, here's a company you can buy from if you can't buy from us. I just got these. Once again, from WTF. This is basically like a Ferro-style turnover. Very simple. It's just hook Velcro here on the back. Attaches to the plate carrier. Cummerbund then goes on top. You will have to run the cummerbund on top of this, kind of like the shingle. And now I have three mags and I'm set. Just got these today, in fact, and they're pretty dope. They're pretty cool. So if you can't wait for our placard, which has the side pouches and is a little slimmer, this is a pretty dope little option. It'll just simply go right here on the front. Boom. Cummerbund. Oh, and this is a really cool trick. I'm going to show you this. Buddy of mine was telling me about this. Nate Stastowicz from AMU, because he recently took a class and did this for his cummerbund. So what you do is you flip the cummerbund on your AC1. You bring it around to the front, because it is kind of ambidextrous, right? And then the big pouch in the back of an AC1 is sized to fit 7.62 mags. So, and I've done this before as well, like if I have three mags in the front, but I want like four, I flip my cummerbund and now I can run an extra mag on each side. And then I have my medium pouch right here and my small pouch in the back, which then I just don't even use. So nice little trick you could do with the AC1 if you want to run a little bit more 7.62 action. But right here you can see the WTF insert. And then I can just take my 5.56 mag, so P mag. It will be a tight-ish fit once everything's pulling on it. But there I'm set and I'm good to go. So a product from another company, not us, that works. Why no AC1 and Coyote? It is our least popular color. It's also disgusting. Coyote brown is a sort of a vomit color. In reality, if we were to focus on a tan color that was not like arid, it would be khaki. I've got a khaki plate carrier right here from LBT. Again, we use stuff from everyone. And this color right here blends a lot better with a lot of different clothing than the yellow brown of Coyote brown. So if we were to do tan, we would go with something like this. It blends better with multicam, it blends better with jeans, it blends better with lighter colored clothing. Obviously contrasts, you know, pretty bright on like black clothing, stuff like that. Oh, that can be a bit of a vibe right there. But this is what we'd be going with. Something that's khaki colored, Federal 499, I think is the spec name. But I don't know when that's gonna happen. For now, we're just gonna do arid, such as this right here, for those of you desert folk, which is also, again, much more khaki and blends much better with stuff, but still gives you that tan color that you, I guess, want, desire, or need. So no more Coyote. I think we have one batch left coming in, and then we are done. Done. Coyote is out, gone, straight to jail right away. So, this is extremely discriminatory towards Nate. It is. Nate, for those who don't know, Nate's a guy who complains about us not doing Coyote Brown on my Twitch streams constantly. It's okay, though. We're not doing... people are asking... I'm gonna go off on a little rant. People are asking us to make weird camos. And by weird camos, I mean multicam black, DNC, DCU, ACU. Actually, nobody's asked that, thankfully. Woodland, M81. And I'm here to tell you, we are not making camo patterns that people buy to look cool. We're not going to do that. The AC1 was not a product we designed to just be this like hype beast product. This is a product that we designed and made because people needed a plate carrier, especially in 2020. Our armor sales were through the roof in 2020. People just wanted a way to put plates on their body. They didn't care if it was M81. They didn't care if it was AOR1. They didn't care. They would buy anything. I mean, trust me, when we put AC1s up, they didn't care what color it was. They were buying them. They sold out instantly. We sold 2,000 plate carriers at launch within like, it was something like 4 hours or something. In 2020, it was nuts. Every election year is absolutely nuts. And next election year is going to be even crazier. I think you all know that, and the year before especially. So no, we're not going to spend time and effort and energy into making the AC1 into, frankly, stupid colors like multicam black, which is a horrible, it's not a camo pattern. It's a cool pattern that doesn't look very good under night vision. It's very bright at night compared to Ranger green and even gray. DCU, I mean, DNC, lots of people ask for that, even though 100 people ask, only 10 would actually buy, because that's usually how it goes down. Woodland, the problem with Woodland, Velcro loop is very bright with Woodland. Woodland generally looks best when it's in a clothing form, so the material they make clothing out of. And then as soon as it gets a little bit faded, Woodland is, I mean, great pattern when you get both of those factors. But Woodland kit, the loop fields are super bright green. The black is super contrasted. It's just a really high contrast pattern with the Velcro loop and with Cordura fabrics itself. So like Woodland gear, unless it's really faded, looks really bright. Not a big fan of it. And the reality is, what really matters is your whole body, right? If we're talking camouflage, I got all these appendages, right, that is uncovered by my kit. So I actually need to think more about camouflaging all this than what's right here. I mean, I can wear a full Woodland, like Woodland top, Woodland bottom, and then Ranger green middle, and I'm good. I'm like 80% Woodland. I don't need a Woodland plate carrier to be completely camouflaged, because the Ranger green, Coyote, and even multicam are going to blend just fine. So at the end of the day, the question is, what is the goal? What is the objective? What is the objective of you wanting multicam black, or wanting multicam, or wanting Woodland? Is it just to look cool and impress your friends, or is it you actually want to be fully camouflaged? And I'm fully guilty of this too, okay? Like, you know, I'm a flat range ninja, all right? People like to say that about me, and they're not wrong. They're not wrong. I shoot on the flat range a lot. I shoot a lot of ammo, 50-ish thousand rounds this year. I spend more time on the flat range than I do doing field problems in the woods and hurrying up and waiting. But the question still remains, what is the purpose of the gear? What is the purpose of the color? I mean, there's a reason Ranger Green is our top selling product, because it looks very professional. It can blend in the woods, but it also looks great in an urban setting. Ranger Green is really the professional color. You know, like straight black can look really good too, but Ranger Green is just a very effective color for, you know, wearing full Woodland BDUs, even multicam BDUs, and then wearing jeans and a button shirt if you're at your local city, protecting your friend's business, because things are getting weird in 2023 and 2024. So anyway, multicam black, no. I will say though, my belt is multicam black because it's a little fun. It is not multicam black because it's a good camouflage pattern. It's multicam black because it's a little fun. My little day bag, yeah. You want me to show that? Yeah, give me this. My day bag is multicam black to be fun. This is not camouflage. That is not to hide in the woods. That is my fun bag to come to work. I also have one in Arid. So just give us black. Black's on the way. At some point in the next month or two, we'll have black. But it is funny. We get this all the time. And I was talking to Derek about a similar issue where people go, make this color. Make this product in this thing. And it's only like 10% of the people that ask for that follow through and actually like put money where their mouth is. So like you can't always take like the pressure of the community, because very few actually end up paying the money. And so it's like, crap, I just bought, you know, 2,000 of this carrier in this color and only 200 people bought it. And that really sucks. Ghillie suits. Yeah, I'd love to get into some of that stuff and stocking and whatnot. Who made that bag? That is a prototype from us. It's very nice, isn't it? So anyway, any experience with the Strandhog? It's a very cool plate carrier, pricey. It's about $450. Maritime, got the tubes. It's a great plate carrier, but I haven't used it a ton, but you wouldn't go wrong in owning one and having one. It's just a little pricey. Talk about the Eagle Yote. No, I will not. No, I don't think I will. very great. It's a great bag. You can pick up used ones. That's what... Where is it? My multicam one. Is it on the desk? Yeah. You can pick these up on eBay for like $240, something like that. I went and bought a bunch of these. Just a great bag. It's got a beaver tail, so you can run your helmet right here. That's what these are called. Kind of an expanded little like cover outside of the bag itself. These can support, I'm pretty sure they can support, yeah, hydration. Got a loop right here. And then you have all your pockets and mesh pockets and all that good stuff. Exterior pockets, side pockets for rifle magazines, water bottles. Just a nice, obviously not a low-vis bag for wearing, you know, downtown Portland or anything, but a nice bag to wear with your kit that can scale up to fit your helmet, scale down, and all that good stuff. It's one of my favorites. But I'm not an expert on bags because, like, I don't go and buy, like, everyone's bag to play with. But that one really, it gets done what I need it to do. So, how do you like the Haley DCRM on the micro? I like it a lot. The only thing about it that I don't like is it feels like the front of the pouch is constantly like wanting to peel away. But part of that is just due to the nature of this kind of setup. I've got three mags and a pouch in the front. Like it's going to be a certain amount of width. That's just how it is. But it does kind of feel like it wants to, you know, pull away from me a little bit. I don't like how loose the little tabs are here that buckle up into the carrier. But other than that, it's a good rig. It works. I actually like the layout. Two pouches on the sides, kind of tucked away and kind of hidden off to the side. Big GP in the front, which you can keep flat so that you can like go prone and do all your stuff, or you can load it up. It also opens up like all the way, which is pretty cool. And then it has Kydex inserts, which are a little tight. I'd probably try to loosen them a little bit. But then you have three inserts right here for mags. It's a good little rig. I think availability is improving, and they're becoming much more available because I spent like $250 on that one on eBay. And I think they sell for like 180, 160, something like that. So I paid a little bit of extra coin on that, kind of like my 3090. But I think it's all right. I think it's good, but I think it's coming back. Any opinion on HRT? Can't remember which one those are. Any experience with the LBT plate carrier? The 6094 was one of the first plate carriers I had. It's a good plate carrier. It's very tried and true and proven. It's a little like long in the front and on the back, even though it's not really necessary for the plates that it holds. But otherwise, it's a good carrier. I think there's something like $300-something. Ooh, actually, it might be like $400. They're a little pricey. The new shellback's really cool. I used the old one a long time ago, and it was like, eh. But at the time, that was like... At the time, the shellback was like the civilian plate carrier that was like $200. Everything else was like LBT 6094 back then. The Cry JPC wasn't even out yet, so they had whatever it was that they had. Actually, I think the JPC had just come out. This was back in like 2012, 2011. And so the shellback was like the only carrier civilians could really get because so many companies back then were only selling to government, which sucks. For us. So the shellback was like the first like massive like plate carrier to go out to people, which is pretty cool. AVS, Best Cry. I mean, they make the SPC, which is really cool, the JPC 2.0, and I think they still make the 1.0, probably because of contract stuff, and then the AVS. No Multicam Black. No. If you see Multicam Black AC1s, they will be fake. I have no intention of making Multicam Black AC1s. Unless for some weird reason it's for a giveaway or it's going to someone. Am I ever going to own one? No, I'm not. I don't even own a DNC one. Those got given away. Pistol mags on war belts. Yes, you should do it. A lot of different options. But we're not talking about that right now. I have a bunch of belts down there. JPC was around 2012. Yeah, I think it had just come out. And I was like, oh, and it was like $300. $280, I think, which at the time was like quite a bit of money. Now it's, you know, not quite as much. Mayflower LEPC, they're good. I need to go get one. I've played with them before, but I need to have one in here for stuff, for demos. Will the 5.56 shingles restock? The answer is yes, but I don't know when. Should you run armor less than 3A? Not really. There's not really a point. The only thing you really get with armor less than 3A, which is soft armor, so only pistol calibers, is weight, is really all you're going to get. You're going to get some weight savings. I have a 3A armor vest around here, though, and it's very lightweight. Usually just comes down to a comfort thing, making sure it's sized to you appropriately. But I don't know why you would want to wear level 2 or even like level 1 soft armor. 3A is like the highest you can go with soft armor, and then you have level 3, which is hard armor. I know it gets, like, it's confusing, but that's just how it is. So, Scarab. Very good plate carrier. Very good. Very good plate carrier. I've got one around here. What do you think of the Agolite? Why? Something's going on with them because people love to bring them up. I haven't used one. It looks pretty cool. I think it's one of the, it's a larger style plate carrier, but I don't have one. No, people are bringing them up a lot. Maybe they're having a super aggressive marketing campaign or something. Thoughts on SWAT heavy rigs. So I've got buddies in SWAT who do, they kind of do one or the other, right? They're either going super slick with a plate carrier, like an AC-1 with like two mags, their radio, their whatever. And then they're like duty belt or like their two piece belt. And then I've got buddies on teams where they run everything. They got groin protectors. They got like stuff out here. They're like a samurai, right? And there's a lot of different thought process for that. And I've actually been wanting to build out a heavy loadout. So a full built cry or whatever with all the armor to run with some drills. It's big and bulky. You know, you're going to move slower with it. I've done training with guys who are issued that stuff. And it's definitely slower when it comes to doing stuff. But it kind of depends on what you're doing. For them, it's like, well, we're stacked up about to go in the door. We're basically sitting ducks unless, you know, because we have to knock and say, hey, police, it's us. And if they're just sitting there with a gun, I mean, you know, they want the extra protection. But then I talked to other guys who are like, oh, no, we're going to go fully slick and high speed and, you know, whatever. So it fluctuates. But I've talked to and worked with guys who run both setups, and they both have their pros and cons. I would like to build a heavy loadout out. I already have I've got a soft armor groin protector I can add to a carrier. I just need the neck and the shoulder stuffs. They're big. It's a big setup. You're basically a juggernaut. What do you think of companies? Okay, yeah, let's talk about that. Companies that sell their plate carriers by the piece versus plate carrier companies that sell plate carriers completed. There are pros and cons to both. Now, as a consumer, I personally detest companies that sell all the parts separately, because here's what often happens. These parts over here are in stock, these parts over here aren't. So you buy, and I talked to guys last year who were like, man, I got my front panel, I got my cummerbund, I'm just waiting on the rear. And I'm like, that's great. You have 2/3 of the plate carrier that you can't even use. Like, that's like buying a gun but not having a barrel and being like, hi, I'm a gun owner. And it's like, well, you don't have the barrel for it, so it's kind of useless just sitting right there. That's exactly how it is. So, but the benefit to being able to buy pieces individually is then if you want to modify something, right? So let's say our cummerbund. I know a lot of people are asking, hey, can I buy your cummerbund because I like how everything's sized to add to my Slickster, add to my LV-109 or whatever. That's where the benefit comes in. If you can go to someone's website and buy pieces individually, kind of like the MBAV cummerbund, OP Tactical. I shouldn't have said it because now I'd probably never be able to get one again. But OP Tactical sells these individually. And boy, am I glad. I can go and buy one of these on its own. I don't have to buy an MBAV for $300, harvest the cummerbund off, and then try to sell the plate bags on eBay for like $200. No, I can go and buy this on its own. So there's pros and cons to both. But when demand goes up, you know, through the roof, if you are a company selling all the pieces individually, you're going to end up screwing customers over because certain stuff will get bought up and then other stuff is going to sit there and people will end up only having half of a plate carrier that's useless. And some people will only have a front bag and will have nothing else. So they got to run in holding it like this or like duct tape it to their body and it just doesn't work. So there's pros and cons to both. I highly doubt we will ever sell all the pieces individually. The AC-1 is sold as a kit. It's sold, done, built, set. All you have to do is add a placard or some other like system and that's it. Magazine system or whatever. So pros and cons to both. As a consumer, because I buy stuff, I mean, I like buying stuff, you know, like I shop for things and gear and some of the stuff here we literally just got today and then stuff we got last week. I have a hard time buying from companies that sell everything individually because it's usually out of stock. So, and I don't like that. So, let's see. Da-da-da-da. Scrolling down. Large AC-1. Not sure when those are coming in, but they're happening. Even the chest rig's back in stock. Yep. It sucks. And when we sold plate carriers from them, we actually, and again, it was tough. We got all the parts and then we put it in a bag as a kit. Like we tried to piece the plate carrier together, done, this is Spiris. Take all the parts, you know, front bag, rear bag, shoulder pads, and cummerbund, And we actually like put it into a bag and sold that already kitted. And it was hard to get all the parts. It was hard to get stuff. But that's what we were trying to do back when he sold their plate carrier. Cry, isn't that funny? Their website's been down like a month. I know, it's crazy. Their stuff's great. They've done some really great stuff for the community and for our nation. But the way they run their business is pretty funny to me. To me, as a consumer, as a civilian consumer, it's amusing how companies like that will operate sometimes in the public sphere. Just really funny. What's going on? People are talking about like lead time, holster lead times. I'm not exactly sure. It's 1 to 5 weeks. Some people get holsters a little sooner. Some people don't. Although it sounds like based on a conversation today, it actually, they're all getting made chronologically. So everyone's getting their holsters in the same amount of time. Where some of the, confusion I think has occurred was the first week we launched the sidecar, we pre-made a bunch of stuff in the most common configuration. That stuff shipped really fast. But if you ordered orange left-hand Glock X300, well, we didn't pre-make that, so we have to send that through the pipeline. You know, it'll take 2 weeks or whatever. So there's a little bit of confusion at the beginning. Some people got sidecars within like 5 days, 3 days, but those were Glock 19, you know, TLR1, right-hand black. And it was like, it's already done. Just put the clips on it, put the thing on it, put it in the box at the beginning. So I answered it. You're welcome. Oh, and then the other confusing part for people, I think I'm going to go do a video on this. There's people who buy retail items from us, and the shipping team over there, I brag on them a lot, although it has screwed us a little bit because people get confused. If you order, say, a sling, and 2 QD swivels, those are going to get pulled off the line in the building next door and put into a box right away, like straight to jail right away. Like they'll go into a box and you'll have it within, it'll ship probably within a day or less, depending on when you order it. If you order a holster, that's over in this building and that has to go get made. If you order a holster and a sling at the same time, I don't think we split that shipment. We only split shipments for armor, I believe. So the sling isn't going to ship until the holster is done. So that's kind of how it's working out right now. So there's some people who are like, why is my holster taking 2 weeks when customers are saying they're getting their stuff within 3 days? Like people have been getting AC1s already. Well, that's because it's over there in that building. It's not getting produced and like made to order. So there's some confusion. We're gonna have to talk about it. So yeah, the only people who bought holsters in the first, who got holsters in the first week were the guys who bought holsters in the first 10 minutes. Thank you, T-Rex Arms. So yeah, that it really does help to buy early and buy first, including AC1s. Just how it is. Ready Rig, coming soon. Coming soon. I think a lot more of them too than what we were previously making. Your AC1 shipped in less than 24 hours. Exactly. You ordered an AC1, which we already have next door, ready to go, ready to put into a box. Sidecars have to get made. That's just how, because we're not a holster company anymore. I mean, we are, but we also do a lot of other stuff. So it is what it is. But anyway, so guys, here's what we're going to do. YouTube, and Grand Thumb's been telling me otherwise, but YouTube doesn't like showing guns on live streams unless they've changed some of their policies or whatnot. So I can't do my traditional armory streams that I love to do. So what I've been doing for months has been, I've been doing them on Twitch, twitch.tv/aimbotkin, because for whatever reason, a left-leaning gaming streaming service is actually fine with guns more than YouTube is. So what I'm going to be doing for the next hour and a half is I'm going to be going to Twitch with my phone, and we're going to run around here and talk about guns and talk more about kit and answer some more questions, and I'm going to drink a little bit more rain and talk a little bit slower. That's actually not going to happen, but I'm going to drink a little bit more rain. So if you guys want to pop over there, we're going to be streaming over there for the next hour and a half or so, showing guns, talking about guns. But this has been a lot of fun. Hope it answers some questions for you all on plate carriers. We do have medium AC1s in stock as of this video right now. Ranger Green, Multicam, Multicam Arid, and various accessories. So I'll see you on Twitch if you guys pop over. Thanks, and I guess that's it.